You're listening to The Total Counselor with your host, Attorney Alan Margulies, on News and Talk Radio, AM 830 WCRN. Once again, here's Attorney Margulies.
Welcome back. Alan Margulies, The Total Counselor, here with you, 508-871-7000. If you'd like to join us here on the air and ask any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Or any other time that you'd like to reach out, you can always catch me at radio@totalcounselor.com. We get a lot of questions from listeners on everything from estate planning to business issues to, of course, tax issues, because as long as the government keeps fooling around with the tax code, you need the professionals to help you. And I am in the studio today with David Karofsky from Transition Consulting Group. Welcome back again, David.
Thank you.
And if you could just give our listeners the best way to reach out to you directly, so off the air.
Yeah, the best way to reach me is probably just do a Google search, Transition Consulting Group. You can also reach us on our website, www.fortcg.com.
Awesome. So now, David, let's pick up. I was jotting down some notes here. And one thing that I just want to raise to the listeners, because I always discuss this Minds Around the Table concept. Yep. And part of the goal in the Minds Around the Table, as I bring different professionals to the table, is not because I'm looking for you listeners to replace your current advisors, but to understand whether your advisors are really serving your needs best. And there's a bunch of different questions that you can ask of attorneys, CPAs, advisors of all shapes and sizes. And one major question that I want to throw out right now for folks to consider is, whose side are you on when you're working with the different professionals? Because I find a lot of times when we've got succession planning taking place, and sometimes it gets a little hostile, is whose side is the attorney on? Are they working on one side or the other side? Because it's interesting, especially, and I'm starting with the attorneys, because that's an area we study quite a bit as to conflicts of interest. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if you look at conflicts of interest, a lot of people will say, well, you can't represent an entire family because by nature, there's conflicts all over the place. What you need to understand with the law is, yes, there are conflicts of interest, but anybody can waive the conflicts. If you have an individual that is really looking at the family and doing what's best for the overall family or doing what's best overall for the business, then the conflict is really minimized. So at what point do you typically get involved in a transaction?
So we'll get involved there's a lot of different places where we'll get involved. Ideally, we get involved proactively before an issue happens. And an issue could be, you know, a major blowout in the family. It could be a death in the family within the business that causes all of a sudden a forced succession plan. It varies. So we'll come in at different stages. Often, we will come in when a family member sees the potential of conflict, maybe is experiencing some conflict now, and will reach out to us. They'll either get referred to us by a current or former client, they'll find us on the web, they'll networking, whatever it may be. They'll reach out to us. I'll usually have a quick initial phone call with the individual just to get a high-level sense, but then I very quickly want to get a family meeting together. And the reason why is, to your point, I need to be a neutral in this engagement. I can't come in and the children can't see me as representing the parents, because then the kids will never open up to me, and I can't move the dial on that one. And same thing vice versa. If a child reaches out to me and the parents think I'm his guy or her guy, it's not going to work. So I very quickly, before I get a lot of information, I urge to have a quick family meeting. And that's when we discuss what are the challenges, what are the goals, and do they want to work with me? And that's when they make the decision to hire or not to hire me, because they have to make the decision as a family. And the whole family or all the parties involved have to have skin in the game and have to want to make this happen. Otherwise, it's very difficult for me to be successful in the work that I do with the family.
Great. And that's where I think it comes down to looking at your particular business, your particular situation, and determining with the professional. So take my example of the Minds Around the Table, that big conference room table, put a couple of chairs in place and start to lay out for yourself who you've got sitting in all of those seats. And then I would suggest is a quick conversation with each of those professionals to mm-hmm. say, okay, I've got my business. I'm planning to leave it at some point. what do you suggest in 2 to 3 minutes is my course of action that I should be looking to take? What should I be doing at this point in time? And then asking that around and then having a conversation with somebody similar to you
right.
to then say, okay, here's sort of the plan, and now how do we put that together?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good approach. And very often in our work, we will bring those minds around the table into the engagement. By and large, they have an attorney that represents either the family or the business or both. They have an accountant. They have a financial advisor. They have all the tools in place, but remarkably, many times, those people aren't talking to each other. And I almost look at myself, you know, on top of the work that I'm doing with the family, in some ways I look at myself as a general contractor. And it's my job to bring in the attorney, to bring in the accountant, to bring in the financial advisor, and look at the entire picture from all angles as we create this succession plan. Once we get the family dynamics under control and the family is in alignment and on the same page with what the plan is, now we got to bring in the legal aspect, the accounting, the financial advising aspect, to ensure that all the pieces of the puzzle fit together. And so those minds around the table, I think, are an incredibly valuable component and are a must-have, in my opinion, to create a sustainable succession plan.
It's always amazing. We've discussed it so many times on this show over the year and a half that we've been on the air, is that a lot of people will have these minds around the table, but when I'll throw out the question of when was the last time any of these minds spoke to each other, it's dead silence.
Right.
Because most of the time is the professionals are not communicating with one another. And that's what I always throw out there. So here's my second question is, will you have a conversation? And this is a question to one of your minds around the table. Will you have a conversation with one of these other professionals? If not, I suggest you need to find somebody to replace that seat or find out exactly why they're not willing to have that conversation. Now, if you don't mind, David, let's turn to, if listeners go onto your website, you have a lot of great information out there, and we're going to hit on some of the blogs and some of the videos that you have posted there. But you have this concept of entry and exit criteria for the family business, which I think is very important.
Yep.
And you offer up 3 tips to creating entry criteria for your family business. If you don't mind, can you expand upon that just a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, the tips, first of all, with entry criteria and exit criteria, the number one thing is communication. Talk about it. Talk about the entry and talk about the exit. So in the entry, the time to start talking about the family business is not when your child or cousin or nephew or whatever, you know, graduates college and they're looking for a job. The time to start doing it is early, in high school, when maybe they're coming in and they're sweeping the floors. Or, you know, in my family's business, when I was in high school, I used to spend vacations and summers cutting sample books of wallpaper, down in the warehouse. And it was just a chance for me to see the business. It was obviously an opportunity for me to spend time with my father and grandfather selfishly. So it was great. But expose the kids to the business. Talk about what it means. Talk about the lifestyle that it's provided your family, and that's the core often of a family's wealth strategy, by the way, is the family business. It is often the largest asset in a family's wealth portfolio. So from an entry perspective, talk about it early. Set some guidelines, and if there's multiple families in the business, set the agreement as to what is entry criteria for our next generation. So we're working with clients right now who the current generation is in their 50s, and they have kids in high school into college, and they are creating a entry criteria code of conduct, so to speak, where they are creating agreements as to the child needs to have a certain level of education. The child needs to have worked somewhere else for X amount of years, be in a related industry. There needs to actually be a job opening available within the business. What this does is it helps prevent a major issue in the younger generation right now called entitlement. That this business is not a right. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity. Just because your last name is Smith doesn't mean you get to come in and work in the business, if that's what the business is. It's got to be something that the younger generation wants to do, is capable of doing.
Awesome. I'm Alan Margulies, the Total Counselor, 508-871-7000. We're taking your questions on the air. David, you've hit a lot of great points that I'm going to pick back up on when we return.